Esther chapter 4, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, it is a good word. It's a true word. It's an eternal word. So, you know, I ask you to move your servant out the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. But that's nothing greater in all the world than you. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. Esther chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. When Mordecai told Esther in verse 14, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Verse 15 says, then Esther told them to return to Mordecai and to give him this answer. Go gather together all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king. We've already established that you go in without permission, the king can have you killed, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. We have been talking a lot about the whole aspect of for such a day as this. Today we're going to emphasize, if I perish, I perish. The question you and I have to ask is, what are we willing to do to stand for such a day as this? I believe that every believer in their life will be given opportunities for such a time as this. And oftentimes we choose not to do it, or we're afraid to do it because we don't know if it's going to turn out like Esther. That the king is going to say it's okay. That it's going to be all right. But there are times that believers have stood up for God, have prayed to God, have stood on God's word, has shared God's word, and God didn't save them. God's not even mentioned here in the book of Esther. Yet and still, he protected her. What's going to happen when you stand on such a time as this and you're not healthy? You get sick. You don't stay friends with all the ones you were before you made the stand. They end up not liking you. And your relationship perish. And if it shall perish, it shall perish. What is it like to stand for God in such a way that there is nothing in all the world that is a greater trophy to you than to be able to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's kind of like the two guys that have been Christians for years and years, and they said, you know, we're getting in our late 80s now. We know our time is short. And one of us gonna go to heaven before the other. So, but would you please let us know when you get to heaven? Let God send you back down to let us know that there is golf in heaven. The guy says, I think I can pray and ask God that. So the one guy died at 89, went up. Sure enough, there was golf in heaven. Came back down to his buddy that night and said, bro, I want to let you know there's golf in heaven. That's the good news. Bad news is you tee off at 7 in the morning. For such a time as this, can I have an amen from somebody? You and I got to understand the basic facts of what God has called us to do. And what God has called us to do is to count the cost before the cost is counted. Because if you don't count the cost and get involved in it, we have a tendency to quit. And we'll quit quickly, whether it's in relationships with one another or in relationships with God. That's what marriage breakup is all about. It's quitting. I quit. I don't have to do this anymore. Did you count the cost before you said I do? Because, you know, most of the time we ought to be saying to, from the pastor, you will. Forget I do. Because God has already said, you will. Because he is in control. Shall we read a little bit here? You know, we can talk all day long, but we've talked about from Genesis, where God created Adam out of dirt. We're dirty old men, that's all. Breathed into that dirt and gave life to sustain all life up until this day. One breath from God in dirt made woman, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a call to keep it righteous. For such a day as this, did you know that sin did not have to enter the world? But they didn't count the cost. And they sinned, they fell short. And God blessed them when they repented. I don't care how short you've ever fallen. I don't care how many times you've ever fallen. God is waiting for you to repent so that he can give you another opportunity to have another such a time as this. And he gave him Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel. Well, he gave Cain and Abel to Adam and Eve. Pastor get moving and his can't see what he's saying from his eye teeth. Can I have an amen? And now those boys had an opportunity to do it God's way. To make it straight and make it clear and to make it righteous. Cain did not want to do it God's way. Abel did. When Abel did it God's way, Cain got jealous, killed Abel. What's the first thing God came and asked him? Hey, where's your brother? Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? Jesus says, well, you're surely your brother's killer. Can I have an amen? How many of us forget what we're supposed to do with one another? Amen. For such a time as this to take care of one another's back. Amen. Christians ought to get Christians back better than anyone else. Amen. And we're the one to stab each other more than anyone else. Amen. Cain was cursed. God says, I'm good for it. He brought Seth and brought on a whole new relationship to bring righteousness into the world. And Seth brought that all the way down to Abraham. Abraham being the first Gentile of the Jews. Jews don't like to hear that. Your mama was a Gentile. Can I have an amen? Your daddy was a Gentile. There was no Jews until after the children of Abraham was born. I like it. And had the opportunity to fully walk with God. Bring on godly people. What happened? Sin. Didn't want to walk with God. We ended up being taken to Egypt. 70 Israelites went to Egypt. 70. That's it. 3 million counting men left. God was in the midst of it. God wanted to bless them. They are whining. How did he get them out of Egypt? He had to raise another man, Moses, for such a time as this. Moses, I want you to go. Get them from my people. Take my people out of there. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses did it. And it was nothing but complaining the whole time the people left Egypt. They had an opportunity to do it right. You and I have an opportunity to do it right. What are we doing with that opportunity to do it right? Have we counted the cost? Please count the cost. You don't know the possibilities of what God wants to do with you. One little negative statement to come out of your nasty mouth, unguarded by the Holy Spirit's control, can eliminate a moment of greatness for God. And the Israelites grew, and the Jews grew. And it was an amazing life that God chose. What happened? Well, let me see. After that, next great thing that happened was a fellow by the name of John the Baptist. Can I get an amen? Amen? God brought in John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet. The only prophet that got to see the promise of the Messiah fulfilled. First cousin to the Messiah. My boy had a resume. And what did he do? He answered it. For such a time as this, the Messiah needed to be introduced. And he stood. Isn't it amazing? That if you don't count the cost, how that which you already know, that which you have already accepted, that which you already believe in can become cloudy. Abraham got cloudy. Moses got cloudy. John the Baptist got cloudy. How did John the Baptist get cloudy, you may ask? I tell you, he only started his ministry like 6 months before Jesus. He was only 6 months older than the Messiah. So when he started his ministry, he was probably 30. When Jesus started his ministry, he was 30. Now, if they're only 6 months apart, they probably only started 6 months apart. Can I have an amen from somebody? Told the people, the Messiah's coming. I'm not even worthy to latch his sandals. Jesus came down to the Jordan, baptized Jesus in the Jordan, heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Saw the Holy Spirit come from heaven, land on him like a dove. I don't know about you, but that's evidence. And when he got thrown in jail, he thought he was going to be beheaded. You know, that's pretty rough. Someone do that to you, that's pretty permanent. You know what he asked Jesus, sent word to Jesus? Are you the one, or should we expect someone else? Those are people that say they walk with Christ. And when things get tough and tight and are led astray in difficulties, and they have to ask the question, if I perish, I could perish. But let me perish if I'm not going to please God. Because living a Christian life without pleasing God, what is it anyway? What good is it? Just go ahead and be the biggest pagan you can be instead of playing around, turning folks off to Jesus. Are you glad you came today? Well, some of y'all are saying, well, man, the only good thing about this is Thanksgiving's coming. And what did he do? Jesus said, tell him what you see is right. People are being healed. But you know what happened? He didn't get John the Baptist out. He let him perish. Why? Because of the sovereignty of God. And life went on. And Jesus kept standing. Then Jesus was crucified. And then there was a man by the name of Stephen. Can I have an amen from somebody? Stephen stood. You know what? I'm tired of talking. Should we go to some verses? Should we look at some verses? I'd rather read. Because if I read, some of y'all can say, well, you know, that's just Pastor Hutchinson's attitude about things. Well, it ain't. This is what the Bible has to say. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 7. You got it? Chapter 7. Well, let me see. What verse you want to start with? Let's start with verse 48 of Acts chapter 7. This is Stephen, one of the leaders in the church, one of the men that followed Christ, one of the disciples that stood after Christ was crucified. He's in the middle of all the power of Israel, standing to give witness and to bring on havoc on those that does not believe. Let me give you a little nudge here. What makes you afraid to stand up because you may perish? I'm not talking about your life. I'm talking about your friendships today. I'm talking about your popularity. I'm thinking about your acceptance. What makes us afraid to lose that? And here is Stephen, my boy, standing up in the middle of the Sanhedrin and listening at his sermon. Starts with verse 40. Nevertheless, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hands made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you also. This is not a sermon on how to win friends and influence people. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised. Ooh. Is that like saying your mama? I just want to know, you know, I got a priest on both sides of the track. Stephen is calling them out. I don't know about you, but you know, pastors, the priests like this today, you know what the average congregation says about pastors like me? Unsensitive. Can I get an amen? Unsensitive. You got to, people don't want to come to church anyway. I know that. And I know I may not get you for another 6 weeks, so I'm going to give you 6 weeks worth. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be having fun. This is serious. All right. I want you to know, too, you're not getting out on time. So quit looking at your watch. Verse 52, Acts 7. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them who show before... slain them who showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers of, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and you have not kept it. God sent his son, he sent the Messiah, and you killed him. Thank you. Can you, how would you feel if you were one of the Sadducees and Pharisees listening to someone tell you the truth about yourself? I don't know about you, but this man knows God better than me. I'm trying to get there. You're saying, well, Pastor, how do you know he knows God better than you? I'm glad you asked that question. Shall I prove it? Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. I'm just reading Greek. And they gnashed on him with their teethuses. You guys know what gnashed on him means? They cursed him out. They forgot about how holy they was. You know Christians like that? You know Christians that really want to walk with God, talk good smack, and then can get awfully angry and they just let the words fly? I know there's no Christian like that in Antioch, but there's some at other churches. We need to pray for them. Just loving God, talking, and the next moment they let profanity fly out of their mouth like it's like a merchant marine. What's up with that? Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? You know what I mean by that. Gnashed on him, cursed him out, yelled at him. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, heard the Holy Spirit say, boy, you better keep your mouth shut. You're going to make these people mad at you. Is that what it said? Full of the Holy Spirit. He looked steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, look now, if you see this expression, Stephen, if God allowed you to see him standing, you know, you ought to keep it to yourself. You're going to make a matter. Because I don't think anyone in here really understands what Stephen is saying. I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, the very one you killed. Does anyone understand that statement? You see, Jesus Christ came to earth to do a job, to give his life for sin, to finish that work and then go take a seat at the right hand of God. And when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. I don't have to stand up anymore. He took his seat at the right hand of God. And what Stephen did and what Stephen said made Jesus Christ get up, give him a standing ovation. You know what my desire is? I want to make God exercise some more. Can I have an amen? I want to get him out of his seat. Woo! Now! But I got to count the cost. You got to count the cost. And they jumped on him, ran on him. They cried in a loud voice, stopped their ears, cast him out of the city, stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Do you think Stephen knew there was a young man there by the name of Saul? Probably not. But because he was there for such a time as this, and because he's there for a time, if I perish, I perish. One of the greatest men of God was called to establish the New Testament and the bride of Christ, the church. Isn't that something? Now, I'm not as mature as Stephen, because I'm going to tell you right now. Can I get an amen? I would tell them. I just lay it out and tell them. They get mad at me. I'm sure of that. I've had that happen. And when they take me out to stone me, it would not be the same reaction that Stephen had. Because it's not like they're not giving me a lot of rocks to throw back. Can I have an amen? Pastor, your pastor would have been zeroing in on some folks. Oh, are you going with me? And then he said they prayed. He prayed for him and said, forgive them. They know not what they do. I would have prayed for him. Pastor just wanted to be honest. Can I have an amen? Amen? See, right now, today, I wouldn't have had that kind of faith. You know why? Because it's not asking me. If it ever comes down to it, I probably have that kind of faith. But you cannot live on tomorrow with today's faith. We got too many Christians worried about tomorrow because they are trying to live on tomorrow with what God has only given you today. See, I can trust God right now 100%. Can I get an amen? 100% right now. I have no problem trusting God right now. That's what God has called us to do. You trust him right? Right now? Right? Now. You see? And if you can trust him right now, now's already gone. Oop, I got another now. I've already been trusting God for three nows now. Can I have an amen? So are you, because your now's just as fast as my now's. And if you live now long enough, it's 10 years. Ooh, I like it. Anybody like it? Like it. So sometimes you just got to count the cost in that. And you got to count the cost in such a way to know, if I perish, I perish. But you know what's worse than perishing if you stand? It's not standing at all. It's passing up the opportunity to stand for him. Go back with me to Matthew. We got to close here quickly because I know some of you already start cooking your Thanksgiving dinner. Go back to the book of Matthew with me, please. Chapter 26. Matthew 26. How you feeling today? Feeling good? Word of God is good. Hope you're feeling good. Verse 69, Matthew 26. Now Peter sat outside in the court, and a maid came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, weren't you? Peter, my boy. My boy Peter. The rock, unshakable. Peter just told you, Peter, you're pretty cool, baby. It's okay. Oh, no, you ain't got to worry about me, Jesus. The rest of these guys will probably run, but the rock will stand, baby. You don't ever have to worry about that. You know, he'd already told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Can I have an amen? Peter, the only time he opened his mouth was to change feet. Bad boy, Peter. Oh, you can trust me. I am the man. I cut people's ears off for you. Nothing scares me. I am Peter, your boy. Yes, God, you and I, road dogs. Anyone know anything about road dogs? Oh, me on the wrong side of the track. Road dog is your best man. You know what I mean? We'll take a bullet for you. give up everything for you. That's your road dog. Can I get an amen in the church here? Maybe I can get a bark. Thank you so much. That's what I'm talking about. For the church. Dogs in the house. Peter said, oh, you had to worry about me. Here comes this little girl. Oh, I know you. You were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. You're in verse 70. No. I don't know the guy. Not me. Verse 71, when he was going out into the porch, another girl came. Is God got a sense of humor? He don't send no big old guys by with swords and stuff. Sends a little girls by. I think I know you. Well, that could be a bad. And never mind, pastor, leave that alone. Come here, amen. We'll talk about that in the men's Bible study. Come here.
Verse 71. She said, oh, aren't you the fella that was with Jesus of Nazareth? I think you're the one.
No, I'm not. Better talking to you anyway. Why don't you go home and cook something? Y'all gotta admit, my boy, if he didn't say it, he thought about it. Amen.
If you weren't out here, I wouldn't be denying Jesus right now. So leave me alone. I think I know you. Weren't you at Club Med a couple nights ago?
Verse 73. Now the wild came unto him, and they stood by him as he tried to get away from the two girls. Said to Peter, surely thou art one of them. Your speech give you away. Well, I can change my speech. If that's giving me away, I can change that. Then began he to curse and gnash at them with his teeth, to swear at them, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the rooster cock-a-doodle-dooed. Can I have an amen, somebody? See, it's one thing to know you can perish. It's another thing to stand on for such a time as this. But it's totally different when you don't stand at all. What you gonna do, church? You need to make your mind up today to count the cost. Because every one of us is going to have an opportunity to do one of the three. Every one of us. And God wants to know that you know that you've counted the cost to do what's right. God wants you to make a decision. Decision is very simple. Count the cost. Get ready for such a time as this. Because God's going to bring it to you. Father, we thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for loving us. To give us the opportunity to so choose. That we may know, surely, it may cause us to perish. But what we do will be done for eternity. Nothing can ever take it away. In Jesus' name, amen.